Good afternoon. Welcome to the LaRouche Show, the weekly internet radio broadcast from Leesburg, Virginia. And today's show is hosted by myself, Michelle Steinberg, counterintelligence editor of Executive Intelligence Review. And the subject of today is we are at a turning point. And we have some lessons for Denver, Colorado, where the Democratic Convention to nominate the next president of the United States will be taking place this summer, Denver, Colorado. And this convention, in many ways, is a repeat of a turning point in history. The 1932 Democratic Party convention in Chicago, where the presidency that almost didn't happen, the presidency of Franklin Delano Roosevelt, was being blocked by leading Wall Street British fascists, led by the Democratic Committee National Committee Chairman John Jacob Raskob, R-A-S-K-O-B. John Jacob Raskob, an agent of the British Empire who did everything to lead a faction of the Democratic Party to prevent the nomination of Franklin Delano Roosevelt. They failed. And the objective of Lyndon LaRouche and his political action committee is to bring the United States once again, as Franklin Roosevelt did in 1932, through the dangerous turning point of the imposition of a world fascist movement. And what LaRouche said earlier this week was, we're at a turning point. If you adapt to popular opinion and good taste, such as the New York Times style book, you lose your identity. If you're worth anything in history, you're a hellraiser. Don't go with popular opinion. Today, we have with us from San Jose, California, LaRouche Youth Movement leader Sam Dixon. And he will be giving us a live report from the California Democratic Party State Convention, where a fight has broken out into the open over the latest plot from London to impose that green fascist, that jello-head pile of blubber, Al Gore, as the so-called man on a white horse, if he could fit on a white horse, to be the possible substitute candidate for the number one fascist option, which the LaRouche movement has screwed up, the Michael Bloomberg option. Gore is being promoted by such outfits as Time.com, that old-time fascist publication run by the Henry Luce family. He's being promoted as the possible candidate to break the deadlock between Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama. That fight will be brought to you by, and other fights out in California, the fight for survival will be brought to you by Sam Dixon. From Leesburg, Virginia, from the LaRouche Youth Movement War Room, we have Ed Hamler, a LaRouche Youth Movement leader from Boston, Massachusetts, who will give us an overview of the national fight for LaRouche's solution, which is now flooding the country. It's called Doom Has Struck, Three Steps for Survival. And to introduce Ed, I want to backtrack a little bit to talk more about Franklin Delano Roosevelt. Look, many of you listeners remember the Lyndon LaRouche webcast of July 25th, 2007. The name of that webcast was The End of the Post-FDR Era. And what LaRouche said that day, only a fundamental and sudden change in the world monetary financial system will prevent a general, immediate chain reaction type of collapse. At what speed, we don't know, but it will go on, and it will be unstoppable. And the longer it goes on before coming to an end, the worst things will get. That was Lyndon LaRouche's statement on July 25th, 2007, and he was telling the country, especially the Democratic Party, the post-FDR era is over. Those British agents inside the Democratic Party, like Felix Roatan, and George P. Shultz, aha, You think he's a Republican. He's not. He's an international fascist who works on both sides of the street and works through the Democratic Party agents such as Felix Rohatyn, Al Gore, and Michael Bloomberg to impose these same fascist policies. But the advice of these characters who are against the general welfare clause of the Constitution to destroy this nation, destroy the U.S. dollar, destroy the economy, to turn us into a pathetic second-rate empire under the control of the European-based oligarchy centered in the British Empire. That policy is being defeated by the work of LaRouche and the LaRouche Youth Movement and the LaRouche Political Action Committee. Now, there's a reason that LaRouche cited FDR and the post-FDR era, because on the table, shortly after he delivered this speech, LaRouche put the Homeowners and Bank Protection Act, which many of you are familiar with. And the fight to get that act through the United States Congress came right up against the fascist plan to eliminate the general welfare. And now today, we're faced with a band of hyenas who are telling Hillary Clinton to get out of the party, get out of the race. And to counter this, LaRouche has opened up offensive, which I'm going to mention now, but come back to later, the lessons for Denver, Colorado. Now, here's the scenario, what they're trying to pull on Hillary Clinton right now. Because the objective of these British fascists is to get Clinton out of the way, at which point they will destroy Barack Obama with a series of scandals that they have in their back pocket. London has a series of scandals in its back pocket, which it will bring down Barack Obama. You ain't seen nothing yet with the Reverend Jeremiah Wright scandal. You've got the Resco corruption trial going on in Chicago as we speak, and there's a lot more that they can throw at Barack Obama. So they want to destroy both leading candidates of the Democratic Party and bring in a real, true fascist. Now, LaRouche has commissioned a series of articles starting this week in Executive Intelligence Review to tell the story that at the 1932 Democratic Party convention in Chicago, a group of leading Wall Street Anglophile fascists led by the man I mentioned earlier, John Jacob Raskob, did everything they could to prevent the nomination of Franklin Delano Roosevelt as the party's presidential candidate. When they failed in that desperate effort, they attempted unsuccessfully to assassinate FDR. When that effort failed, they tried to organize a fascist coup, a coup d'etat, to overthrow the U.S. Constitution and the Roosevelt New Deal. Leading British agents from Wall Street, from the DuPont family, General Motors, and the J.P. Morgan interests, the same J.P. Morgan interests behind the illegal and phony bailout of Bear Stearns, led the conspiracy. Under LaRouche's guidance, we're pulling together the documentation of this story once again for the next EIR and for the immediate posting on our websites. The reason's obvious. Today, as in 1932, a collection of British agents and outright fascists are trying to hijack the Denver Convention. Al Gore, Jellohead, is waiting in the wings, and if the scheme to knock out Hillary Clinton from the race succeeds, the British propaganda barrage finishes off Barack Obama. What they did in 1932 was block the nomination of FDR through every trick in the book. He was not nominated on the first ballot. He was not nominated on the second ballot. He was not nominated on the third ballot. And after he failed to be nominated, he had a majority of delegates, but not the number that was needed to win. Very, very similar to today. It was only on the fourth ballot that Franklin Roosevelt was nominated as President of the United States, the most important president of this 20th century. We're going to tell the lesson of the FDR fight for the general welfare for the forgotten man, to give those Democrats the courage to fight, stand up to popular opinion. We're at a turning point. If you don't stand up against popular opinion, this country is finished. With that, I want to introduce Ed Hamler to give us a report on the LaRouche Youth Movement and LPAC campaign over the last week or so that took this fight head on. So, Ed, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Okay. Well, first of all, I'd just like to start with LaRouche's Three Steps for Survival, because ever since the Bear Stearns bailout by the Fed, with the complicity of the Treasury, everything has changed. And the nature of that change is that this event, like other events that we will see, proves that LaRouche has been right. That he's always been right without the empirical proof, but sometimes the empirical slap in the face is good for our American citizenry. Basically, what this means is that nobody else has any credibility whatsoever on economics, on the financial system, generally, right now. The only authority on this particular question is Lyndon LaRouche. Therefore, LaRouche's Three Steps for Survival is the key issue of not just strategically what we're going to do about the world financial system, but also about the election in the United States in November, the presidential election. That's the issue. Now, what we've been doing is having a huge mobilization on LaRouche's Three Steps for Survival in state and city governments.
Okay, Ed, why is Wall Street, why do they hate those three steps?
Well, Wall Street hates the three steps because it's against everything that they stand for. If you look at people like Felix Roatan, which LaRouche called a thorough fascist, Roatan's policy is that private private industry, the private sector, should control the money flow, the finances, and even things like infrastructure of whole nations. Now, Felix is a puppet of the British Empire, so what we're really looking at is a hatred of something that reflects the American intention, right, which is the idea that everybody's created equal, that our principle for what we do in this country is the general welfare principle. And so LaRouche's policy best expresses that. And, for example, since the system's collapsing already, if LaRouche's policy were to be adopted tomorrow, that would mean the complete wiping out of these financial speculators, of people like Roatan, and they fear, ideologically, their biggest fear is that they'll lose control over whole countries and nations. So that's the ideology of some of these guys. And when we're going to the State House, for example, in Detroit, these are some of the things that we were up against. The people that are afraid to put LaRouche's name on the legislation, it's really a fear of these guys like Roatan, who have no authority at this point. So we've been having a lot of fun making fun of people like Roatan. We've been doing field deployments with people dressed up as Roatan, with a toll booth charging people to walk across the street, because this kind of middle-aged policy is what he's proposing for a national infrastructure policy.
I think Lynn has called it a new feudalism.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. They call it a League of Cities policy, and it's completely middle-aged feudalism. Now, just in terms of specifics, though, the awesome thing about this whole process is now, since we have this phase shift in the financial system, people are more open to what we're talking about. It's sort of like You know, you get hit with a ton of bricks when something like, when you find out LaRouche was right, when you internalize that. So in many of the places like Boston, when we went to Oklahoma, the state house there, and Detroit, you have a different sense of a freak out. And, for example, in the Oklahoma, when we went down there to their state house, we met with a number of senators at length. We had meetings in offices. We had private meetings with some of these guys because they really wanted to dig in and now discuss in depth LaRouche's policy, whereas before they were afraid. They thought things could just keep going the way they were going. This is the same case in Boston. We've had a few senators specifically who we've been talking to there, and we've been talking to them for a while, and the persistence has paid off because now, since we've had this shift, a lot of these guys are talking about maybe filing it with the original wording, with LaRouche's name, etc. And if that occurs, that'll be the first state to do such a thing. And even in places that we have passed it, some of our members in Detroit, for example, are going to keep pushing you have to have LaRouche's name on the legislation, because LaRouche's name, I mean, if you really want to know what about the policy freaks out these guys, it's really LaRouche's name and what he represents. As people should know, LaRouche has been consistently the only guy freaking out the fascist element deployed from London in the United States through his policy. So people know, who are the enemies of the United States, that the only person that gets these guys to leave droppings in their pants is Lyndon LaRouche. So that's the process right now on the three steps for survival. It's a good process, and I think what we're hear later in the convention in San Jose will give us more on that.
And I know you have to go to important meetings to review things with Mr. LaRouche, and you have a few more minutes before you have to leave for that. There's been some new developments on the LaRouche Youth Movement and the LPAC website. Can you describe a little bit of that?
Yeah. Well, let me do two things. One, also, there's been a lot of organizing around the firewall video as well, which is the a DVD that we've got out, and it's also a video on the website, which is an education piece, and it's really meant to empower the population so that we can provide leadership to the population so they can assert themselves with a certain level of education, so we can actually change politics through an in-depth understanding of real economics, which has been lost. So that's been deployed throughout the United States through the LaRouche Youth Movement. You'll probably hear at the convention right now, we have this thing projecting, a big projector showing it inside the convention. Got a lot of heads turning because of that, discussions and so forth. We're also having a lot of showings on college campuses all over the place of this. And this is good because it's moving the discussion from just sort of a vague idea of what's wrong into an in-depth understanding of where the problem originates in the economy and politically, and why LaRouche's solution is the only one.
The firewall video is the that's where the limb says the unthinkable, right? It's a 80-minute or so video about the hyperinflation which happened in Germany, which led to the rise or the imposition, finally, of the Nazis through Hitler. And one of the shock values for me, at least, is that it cut through a lot of denial and delusion that it can't happen here. We've got too many freedoms. Is that the type of thing that we're finding in using this in the organizing?
Yeah, we're finding that people now that, for example, say, feel gas prices going up or feel food to be less affordable, really giving people a sense that this is a much broader situation than just gas prices going up. The whole thing about oil, you know, peak oil and all this stuff, it's a lot bigger than that. And yes, people are beginning to understand that what happened in 1923 is exactly the same thing that's happening now. And it's through understanding this kind of process that people arrive at the conclusion that, yeah, you know, well, LaRouche is the only guy that's addressed this and knows what to do about it. Now, on the WLYM site, the LaRouche Youth Movement site, we got some revolutionary developments there. No other organization has ever done to science what we've been able to do and post on this website. LaRouche commissioned a project a while ago that the LaRouche Youth Movement began to relive and remaster the discoveries and the process of history from the history of science from Kepler to Riemann, to Bernard Riemann. So we've already got posted on our new, brand new WLYM website, the reliving of the Kepler's new astronomy, a whole pedagogical work through in that for people to relive that discovery, and Kepler's harmonies of the world. And we've also had some other material on the breakthroughs of Fermat and light, and also the Pentagramma Mirificum, which goes through a fundamental element of spherics, which Kepler applies in his works. And now we just had, for the first time, an understanding of what Gauss was actually thinking when he was making his breakthroughs in astronomy, geometry, and other areas, and non-Euclidean geometry, for example. And that is now posted, a whole work through of Gauss's determination of the orbit of Sirius. But there's all kinds of other stuff on there, too. And this is really geared towards reviving our true American tradition versus what it's turned into today as the intellectual tradition of Benjamin Franklin, Hamilton, Lincoln, even Franklin Roosevelt, that the average American citizen should have access to the fundamentals of human knowledge going all the way back to the Egyptians. And by making this available right now, we have a huge political power now that we weren't able to have before. So it's a real big breakthrough.
Ed, thank you very much. I know you have to get to this meeting, and I should tell you the time you let me know you were available has been slightly past. So thanks again, and I'll tell people how to get in touch with that website and by the Internet and also our phone number. Thanks.
Okay. Bye.
Bye. Okay. The LaRouche Youth Movement on the Internet is www.wlym.com, and LaRouche Pack on the Internet, www.laRouchePack.com. Okay, if you want copies of literature, find out how to get copies of literature or subscribe to Executive Intelligence Review, which is the website that you're on right now, the LaRouche Pub website. You can get referred through the toll-free number of LPAC 1-800-929-7566. 1-800-929-7566. This is the Action Center for the LaRouche Political Action Committee. Please get in touch. We have to get the three-step solution through. Now, I want to turn to California, the birthplace, in a way, of the LaRouche Youth Movement, and one of the founders of that movement going back to the early years of the LYM, Sam Dixon. Sam Dixon is talking to us from on-site, the Democratic Party State Convention in California, which is a real battleground. So hopefully we can bring Sam into the show right now.
Yes, I'm here. I'm available.
Okay. Go ahead. Just tell us what's going on.
Well, generally, the action has been pretty packed. Basically, here in California, as you rightly said, to put it in perspective for everyone, the youth movement here for about the past 8 years, as I've been involved, has created a process here in the California Democratic State Party where we're seeing a lot of reaping of the work that Lynn has done and the youth movement has done in particular this weekend, considering the fact that what we've been doing with the HVPA work, which in California, which is a very large state, which has a very large proportion of home foreclosures, is experiencing a huge economic downturn. Now, from the standpoint of what we've been doing this weekend, at the different caucuses that they have at the Democratic Convention here, we've been bringing up three major points. And the three things that we've been leading with as a youth movement in all of our discussions, one, in the different caucuses where we have people elected, for instance, Quincy O'Neill is the vice chair of the Black Caucus. Wineal Innocentes is the corresponding secretary for Los Angeles County of the Filipino caucus. What we've actually seen is that we're able to bring directly into the discussions the questions of Bear Stearns, the collapse of the economic system directly, and the solution that we've put forward. We've been leading very strongly with the three-point solution that Lynn has put out on his leaflet of three steps to survival. Probably everyone here has already gotten that many times. And at the same time, we have a table set up playing the Firewall DVD for everyone to see with speakers hooked up in the convention hall. And this has created, you know, a lot of interest as people have come up to the table and said, how can I get that DVD? How much is it? You guys made that yourself. And people were very impressed with the setup that we actually have inside of the convention and the fact that we do have organizers organizing people in rotations at the tables. The other major factor...
Sam, let me just get an image of this. So you have a literature table there, and is the Firewall moving? Is that film being projected on a large screen or on a laptop, or how are you doing that?
Oh, it's being projected from a projector onto a large screen.
Wow. Okay.
With speakers and a subwoofer actually plugged into the electrical power outlets, beaming it into... We actually are set up inside of the Democratic Convention. Our Democratic Party Club here in the state, the Franklin Roosevelt Legacy Democratic Party Club, is the official arm here in the state. I mean, you say FRLDC, and everybody knows that means LaRouche here. There's no mistaking it. That's 100% LaRouche. And we have all of our regular table literature on our table set out, and we have the Firewall playing, and everyone has been watching it, and we've been getting out the DVD here to everyone. So it's very impressive to see, because people come up to us and say, you guys are about your business. You guys are rather impressive. You have everything set up. We also have different choruses singing. And, you know, we've been here in years past. We have a little bit smaller delegation this year, but that smaller delegation didn't lose any of its power because of the concentration on you know, really focusing on the economic crisis, the three steps, the economic crisis of Bear Stearns. People have come up to us who have met with Lynn, who have met with us over the years, who we've been talking to, and said, you guys are good. You guys put it out there. You guys fought for it even when I said it wouldn't happen. And, you know, they're admitting it. They're coming up to us before we get a chance to say it and said, okay, you guys are right. What's the solution? And, I mean, a lot of the people that we met with coming into the week, so I was doing a two-week tour with Quincy, in Northern California, we were meeting with as many elected officials as possible. A lot of the different officials we met with, once they got the idea that we were saying, no, you're going to say that the system has collapsed. We're just going to say that. One county supervisor that we were speaking with, she's like, you guys just want to go out and tell the truth. You guys just want to say it. And she was very relieved. She was like, okay, we're going to say it. The system's collapsed. Whew. Okay, now that we said it, now what do we do? You know, people are very excited about the fact that we can just say it, because there is this huge pressure from popular opinion not to say such things.
Right, right.
And, I mean, the real fight is popular opinion in a certain sense. It's not any longer this question of LaRouche as this phantom in the background, because that's the idea of blocking out LaRouche from the press, that if we don't talk about LaRouche, he doesn't exist. Well, in California, LaRouche exists very, very much. And our youth movement that is here is right now participating in an immigration panel discussion in the general session. And Quincy O'Neill is, again, he's representing the African-American caucus in this. And you have people from the senior caucus, the Chicano, the Latino caucus, the Irish-American caucus, and the Asian-Pacific Islander caucus, and many other caucuses. talking about how we can address the immigration issue. Often it gets down into the, you know, the problems and so on and so forth, but the intervention that we made through the general session, I should mention that there's about 1,117 people who are delegates here who are in the general session, heard Quincy speak on the idea of bringing back the Franklin Roosevelt legacy and how the real problem is NAFTA, the destruction of the economies of the Southern Cone, that's Mexico down. And what we're actually looking at is a real need for the NAWAPA plan, the North American Water and Power Association, hooking that up with the Pleno and the Fligon, openly talking about this with people. And the chairman of the state party, Art Torres, actually said openly, now you see why they elected him as the chair or the vice chair of the African American Caucus after he got done speaking.
So that's fantastic. How many people heard that panel, Sam?
Well, the room was packed. This was the most important panel. They've never had a panel on immigration before. And when I left to get on the phone call, it seemed that there was somewhere around 1,000-plus people in the room.
Mm-hmm. And this is truly one of the hottest issues in California, Arizona, New Mexico, Texas, throughout the whole Southwest, and indeed going all the way up into Virginia, where large numbers of Hispanic immigrants, both legals and illegals, have come up here for work in the construction industry, which has now bottomed out. Where are they going to go? So, you know, Ibero-America and the Southern Cone that you mentioned, it seems like that they know that what happens to the U.S. economy is going to kill their economies also. Is that the sense that people have there?
I mean, very openly, people are saying that there's a large contribution from the workers from to the United States, but that they have to send back remittances because of the destruction of money payments to their families because of the destruction of the economies there, and that as the United States is going down, as our economy is going into a tailspin right now, that every place else is following rather quickly. A lot of countries in South America, and you have a lot of El Salvadorians here, but the El Salvadorian economy is completely dollarized. And I was talking with a young man about this earlier, and he said, well, as the dollar collapses, we have less to eat. You have the wheat prices, and the rice price went up by 30% yesterday.
My God.
The price of rice alone went up 30% yesterday. And we're talking to people about these things. We're putting it on the table because you can get lost in a conference like this and running from meeting to meeting. But we've been able to try to bring very sharp and focused briefings to people. And it's not a briefing like at the table. You have more time. Sometimes it's extremely informal in some cases. But, you know, there's a real need for the ideas of a solution that we're bringing. And one of the things that is lacking at any Democratic event is ideas. But there's a lot of actual enthusiasm for doing something once we sit people down and stop them from hyperventilating because of hyperinflation and really show them that, one, we know what we're talking about, and they've seen that because we've been talking about it for quite some time. And number two, that they can actually act in the interest of the United States and the best historical examples of the United States to get out of this.
Okay, we're going to come back to the three-step solution of Lynn, and I just got a flash. Not a hot flash. This is a news flash from Lyndon LaRouche. And this is a shocker. This is urgent. It will be posted on the LaRouche PAC website. This is an urgent slug for the website. It's called Henry Paulson Must Resign. And it starts out with a shocker. President George W. Bush Jr.'s capacity for tolerating the incompetence of others has passed its limits. Treasury Secretary Henry Paulson must resign for the sake of the reputation of President Bush's legacy. The president is reported to have said, quote, as all of my signing statements prove to anyone who has been watching, it is me, President Bush, who is the only one authorized to make the big mistakes of this administration. Henry Paulson has just gone too far, unquote. So, Bush is very jealous of his legacy of being the biggest, jackass in the United States, and Henry Paulson apparently has surpassed him. And okay, so that's the news flash. It's going up on the website. It's going to cause some real shocks because everybody knows it's true. Henry Paulson, maybe he's a British agent, maybe he's an agent of a British agent, but this guy is destroying the dollar, and none of his hyperinflationary bailouts have worked, not even for 1 week, not even for 1 day. So that's the crisis that we're seeing. Sam, before we go back to the three-step solution, I understand we really turned the place upside down on the issue that I mentioned at the beginning, Jell-O-Head Al Gore. He's not there, is he?
Well, actually, we didn't have the Al Gore individual in the mask. We had Arnold Schwarzenegger in the mask, but at the same time, there was, I think we have on video, we have our Arnold Schwarzenegger, President Bush, and another person in an Al Gore mask merrily dancing at the convention and talking about how they're going to destroy the United States with their new green energy conversion and how global warming is increasing because they keep talking so much and putting out so much CO2 gas. I mean, we definitely hit hard in our conversations with people also on the global warming issue. I mean, one of the key insidious things that comes out of every, even there's even good politicians who are people who recognize Lynn and his ideas just because they just make sense. And they can't help but give in to the popular opinion of global warming. You know, there was someone who was talking, Lieutenant Governor John Garamendi was giving a speech, not a bad speech, was saying proper things against Schwarzenegger and things we need to do to improve our economy. But in all of that, even with his references of FDR, he still had to give a long tome about how one of the Greenland ice shelves just fell off into the ocean and how global warming is, you know, one of the biggest threats. And one of the larger arguments I've been having with people this weekend, people who agree with us on the economic crisis, is that they say we have to act just, you know, faster than even on the economic crisis on global warming. That's an issue, that's an urgency. And I've been telling them global warming is not a crisis. The economic class is a crisis. And this Al Gore attempt at distraction, it's a complete distraction from reality. And scientifically idiotic in this way that they're putting it together. It's just complete sense perception and empiricism. Melting ice equals, melting ice caps equals the end of the earth. And I keep telling them, it's not the end of the earth, it's just the end of the monetary and financial system.
That's good. That's good. So you're really, all the organizers there are overthrowing the axioms of popular opinion. That, so you said you were going in with three issues. The financial system is finished, and that is refreshing. No more dancing around that issue. Is the second issue, the global warming, is a lie, and it's not the end of the earth, it's just the end of the financial system?
No, the first one is definitely Lynn's three-step solution.
Mm-hmm.
The second thing that we've been going with is the actual need to have the collaboration that Lynn has been calling for with Russia, India, and China. And we've been staying away from, and the United and Russia also, but we've been staying away from as much as possible, getting stuck. And what a lot of people are getting stuck in, and I mean, we've had arguments among the Democrats themselves. They've been having arguments of, you know, Hillary Clinton versus Barack Obama.
Great. Mm-hmm.
This is a complete distraction from what necessarily our political action committee is trying to go forward with, and that's producing a presidential candidate by putting forward the policies that are necessary. And a lot of people are, again, you can see the workings of this British strategy, and a lot of people are beginning to see how ridiculous this is, but a lot of the grassroots, they're becoming fundamentalists in their support of their individual candidates to the destruction of the actual ability of the Democrats to have any ability to put up a real fight against the Bloomberg option, which reared its ugly head again this week when Senator Obama gave his speech at the Cooper Union Institute of Abraham Lincoln fame, and Bloomberg actually introduced him, and there was a lot of talk, of course, all over the news about maybe it will be a Bloomberg-Obama ticket.
Oh, my God, right, yes.
And mm-hmm.
Which is exactly what we said, right. We said it months ago, and people didn't believe it.
Yeah, I mean, here, You know, people were calling us on the phone, said, you guys called it right. I mean, sending me text messages, calling, leaving messages on other organizers' phones, you guys called it right. Bloomberg seems to be in it still. I mean, we're calling it as we see it. And LaRouche is saying, look, he said it before. He said, Giuliani is just a patsy. They're going to knock him out. When Lynn said that back in November of last year, no one believed him. Where's Giuliani now? If you look at what Lynn talked about, this is the end of the financial system. This system is coming down. It's going to continue to come down. Nothing that Paulson or any of these other guys are putting in place is going to solve the crisis. It's just going to create hyperinflation. That's what we're living through right now. And Paulson getting fired from his job, he's not at an investment bank anymore. He needs to figure out what real economy is. And it's the same thing with the Bloomberg flank that we've been hitting on for quite some time, and that's that Bloomberg is the fascist option. He is the option that, you know, people who are behind the George Shultzes and the Felix Rohattans inside of the Democratic Party, who are actually crippling any intellectual thinking on the part of many Democrats, are actually falling into. And right now, the key thing, and that the third thing being the attacking of Al Gore and his whole global warming, what I would call it a fiasco, because it's not going to happen. And when you look at the whole entire idea of what's going on right now, you really have, with that three points that we're hitting on, and staying clear of getting entangled in the Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, and I guess you'd call it a fracas, and really focusing on the issue that both of the candidates would need to focus on and that the American people need to focus on, we've had an extremely intelligent and I would say efficient deployment that has had the most bang for the buck out of any of the deployments that we've had. This is like none of the other Democratic conventions that we've been at because of the historical situation we're in and the focus that we have from the Oakland office and the Los Angeles office here. And, you know, there's a lot of people who aren't here from Los Angeles, and but their work also contributed greatly to the ability for us to do this intervention here in California in San Jose right now.
Okay, I'm going to ask you if you have time to stay on the rest of the show, because I have a million questions. We usually have an email capability, but I'm told that that service is down. That's why I didn't tell people, write to us at radio@larouchepub.com for the questions. I know they would have been here. So I have some questions about the history of the LaRouche Youth Movement organizing, and also some of the things that Lyndon LaRouche said recently. He said that the Bear Stearns collapse that you mentioned was like a very, very significant forecast that he made back in the early part of founding his organization, which he predicted the collapse of the world monetary system, which took the form of the end of the Bretton Woods system in August 15th, 1971. And he said that that was a turning point for the building of the LaRouche movement, the LaRouche political movement. This was, of course, long before there was an executive intelligence review or a LaRouche pack, and Lynn had never run for president and so forth. It was when I was recruited as a recent college graduate, I first heard Lynn speak about Nazi economics and what was really the bankers that were behind Adolf Hitler, including Jean-Marc Schacht, and it put the world together for me. He said we're in a recruitment phase like that. And Sam, how are you guys looking at that, and how could people join this movement?
Well, the key thing that we need right now is not just as many people as possible, but as many people as possible actually engaging in the intellectual process that this youth movement then in 1971 and now is engaging in. That right there, along with the political dialogue, which is a result of that intellectual work, as Ed Hamler was talking about before, of the website and need and the fact that LaRouche founded this organization on the scientific discoveries that we're making breakthroughs on recently, that we've created a situation where we're now able very directly to have an intervention scientifically with our youth movement. The recruiting that we need people to come talk to us. We have the ability, we're out on the streets, we're out on the campuses, come and join in the activities and what we're doing, not as just a pastime, but real dedication of rebuilding the nation and rebuilding our culture. Because what we're looking at right now is a situation where it's necessary for each individual the capability to actually act on these ideas and to bring them to as many people as possible.
Now, one of the things that the LIM did, in addition to the firewall video, was a very, very provocative pamphlet called "Is the Devil in Your Laptop?" Why did you see that as important, and what has it done to intervene on the social engineers who'd like to use the internet to build a fascist movement?
Well, this pamphlet is very fun because a lot of people just see it. They read the name of it on the cover, "Is the Devil in Your Laptop?" And they say, "Yeah, he is." And, I mean, there's some things that I've been told by people about what they found their children looking at on the internet that I won't repeat here on the show because it's just disgusting. And the idea of people understanding that, and we're getting that out here at the conference, is that there's a real cultural matrix, the MySpace. For instance, when I was at the Young Democrats of America event they held in Anaheim this year, instead of passing out emails just to see how, you know, widespread this is, everyone was saying, "Do you have a MySpace page or a Facebook page?"
Mm-hmm.
To actually point out to them, look, and we give them the pamphlet and hand them, look, this is the destruction of the Democratic Party and any other part of the American society to actually communicate ideas. And if you really want to communicate ideas, you shouldn't be, you know, putting up these MySpace pages. And people really, when we would ask them, we were organizing them around that. We had the whole office in Los Angeles there. We were saying, "Ew, you have a MySpace page? Are you addicted to MySpace?" And people would say, "Yeah, I spend way too much time on there."
Mm-hmm.
And openly they would say that and be ashamed and be blushing and so on and so forth. So it's a real, that is the digital aspect of their existence. And the work that we're doing hands-on and from a real mathematical understanding, an analog understanding of how you actually interact through principles in the real universe is the opposite of that. We have the problem of the MySpace Facebook, which is not to say that those are the only two websites that cause that, but it's a way of thinking that causes that problem. And then looking at it from the standpoint of what we're talking about in the LaRouche Youth Movement through Gauss, Riemann, from Leibniz before them, and through LaRouche and his economic policies.
Now, with those 1,100 and plus people that we're organizing there, we're really at a battle with the leadership of the Democratic Party. We have gone after Nancy Pelosi, and Lyndon LaRouche had said she should step down for being an agent of Felix Rohatyn, for blocking the operations of the general welfare, and for trying to be part of this operation to get Hillary Clinton out in order to set Obama up for British destruction. Now, what's happening, if anything, on the Nancy Pelosi role in this convention? And by taking the policy fight and what you said earlier, that the first thing you notice at a big Democratic Party meeting is the lack of ideas, and we're filling that vacuum, right?
Yeah, and also Nancy Pelosi was here this weekend, yesterday.
Yeah, what's Ms. Leadership up to?
Well, Ms. Leadership was out touting her, you know, we're going to get, you know, a bigger margin in 2009. We're going to have more in the Senate and more in the Congress. But really, she wasn't the main issue. Most people weren't even interested in seeing her. Everyone knows when we talk to them that she's the one blocking any real change in the Congress, and they don't know why.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been very good at pointing out to them the economic crisis and the fact that you have Felix the Fixer Rohatyn in the background, trying to do to the United States what he did to New York City, and also what they did before New York City down in Chile to the United States with Mr. Pinochet in the country of Chile. And what we're looking at very directly when we talk about Nancy Pelosi is telling people that it's not just her as an individual. We're not going after her as an individual because we think that she's the Wicked Witch of the West, but that she's the stumbling block
right
for the entire Democratic Party's popular opinion apparatus from actually facing the reality of the economic collapse, and they're working in collaboration with the Kennedy apparatus and also people in the Schwarzenegger administration, who we have our own roving Schwarzenegger here telling everybody that, "How do you feel?" And they say, "What do you mean?" He goes, "How do you feel? Because I'm screwing you." You know, people are like, oh, man, you are. You know?
Oh,
and people are really addressing this. I mean, there's
is this the dressed up Schwarzenegger or the boxer shorts Schwarzenegger that I saw on one of the limb interventions?
Right now, we have we have the fully dressed Schwarzenegger,
okay,
in his suit, walking around shaking everybody's hand with his big rings on. If you look, he always has these huge rings on his fingers. They're so gaudy. And going around shaking people's hands, and he was dancing with Bush earlier. We have a Bush. Somebody else had a Bush here in a yellow and orange jumpsuit with handcuffs on doing the perp walk. And so they were doing a little dance in the fields about how they were screwing everybody.
Great.
And you really have people understand that, and we have, you know, large crowds of people pretty much in between all the breaks at our table, trying to get the leaflets, trying to get the firewall DVD, and you know, we're really trying to focus people on the three things that I said. We didn't focus too much on Pelosi as an individual, but her as a part of the apparatus, which is blocking the Democratic Party from doing the correct economic policy with the HBPA. With blocking the actual idea of the two-tiered, her and whatever Paulson is doing on his own, blocking the idea of a two-tiered interest rate system, and the idea of having an actual collaboration with, Russia, India, and China on economic policies for the world. And we've been really staying on message with that. Lynn gave direct directions to do that, and we've been really staying on message. Of course, all these other things come up in discussions, but those have been the things that we've really stayed forward with. When Quincy was addressing the Black Caucus, he's the vice chair, he gets his comments. We stuck to the HBPA, the need to go with a Franklin Roosevelt solution, and the HBPA by name needs to be adopted. And we're trying to get a good coalition within the caucus to go with it. And people were very rapt by it. I mean, it was quiet, they were paying attention to what he said, and people came up later and said they were very interested in what he was talking about and wanted to work on that because it's an important issue. And we're offering a solution. So along with our fund, we're offering solutions that are fun. So
good. Sam, let me again tell people how to get in touch and get a copy of the DVD through LaRouche Peck. People can call on the telephone. The number toll-free is 1-800-929-7566. That is the toll-free number for the LaRouche Political Action Committee. They're the ones that put out the Firewall DVD, and and that's also where you can get on the all-new LaRouche Youth Movement website, which I was looking at today with the science issues. Now, I'm going to ask, we were expecting that maybe Harley Schlanger, the West Coast LaRouche spokesman, could be on.
Michelle, I'm here.
Hi, Harley, yeah. We had Ed Hamler giving us an overview, and Sam has been good to give over a half-hour interview on what's been going on at the convention, including Quincy O'Neill's powerful intervention at the immigration panel and our reception. So is there anything that you wanted to add from your recent discussions with Lynn?
Well, I just was listening to what Sam was saying, and it was absolutely the right point. What we're doing here is we're bringing the party back to FDR through Lyndon LaRouche. And what I've gotten from the discussions I've been in and from what we're doing, just getting out literature to the people, the delegates and others, was somewhat symbolized by the Lieutenant Governor of California, who in his closing remarks of his speech ended up quoting FDR. Now, this is not usual in the Democratic Party these days, because of the influence of Roatan and Wall Street, the free trade policy, the effort to turn the party against government, against FDR, and with Lynn's intervention and the really brilliant work being done by the LIM here, we're bringing back as the only solution the FDR policy. Now, the critical other side of this is all you have to do to get someone snapped out of Democratic Party convention fever, you know, wanting to dance or eat ice cream or drink a beer. All you have to do is say, what do you think about Bear Stearns? And you get people riveted. And, you know, of course, they have the populist line. You know, everyone's line is, oh, they're bailing out Wall Street. And we said, well, actually, they're trying to stop the FDR solution. They're trying to stop LaRouche's Homeowner and Bank Protection Act. And with this extra sharp polemical thrust, which is what Lynn was discussing in the last couple of days, that we don't have any room right now for failure. There's no room for us not to be sharp. The whole world is on a precipice heading toward a new Eurasian war on top of a depression collapse like the dark age of the 14th century. And so what we have to do is every opportunity we have absolute clarity on this. It's FDR, it's the general welfare, it's the American system, and today that means Lyndon LaRouche and the LaRouche Youth Movement. And what I found from watching this and from participating in it here, the Democrats are responding because they know there's a crisis. I don't know, Sam may be able to confirm this, but to me the most striking thing is that there's been very little said so far about Clinton or Obama, that there's an openness to discussion about ideas and issues. And so, to me, we're at a point where if we're clear, if we're focused, if we stay with what Lynn has directed, we're going to have a response, and we're getting that. And I think we're, I just passed by the corridor where the youth are singing. We have a very large, or actually a nice-sized chorus. One of the other things Lynn talked about is we've got to get back to a campaign for C tuned to 256. And they're singing the Ave Verum Corpus, they're singing the motet, the Jesu Mina Freuda. And the intention of the singers of the LaRouche Youth Movement in doing this is to raise this question of immortality in the minds of the convention goers, and that's the issue of the American system. You live for some higher purpose than stuffing yourself and moving off to a relaxing country home. You live for a higher purpose. That's what life is about. And our republic affords us that opportunity. And the idea of a mass choral project, giving everyone a chance to participate in the beautiful classical culture that Bach and Mozart and Beethoven created, is something that's unique. So that's pretty much what we're doing there.
Okay, we're almost out of time. I would say this. The last special issue of the Executive Intelligence Review is completely devoted to Lyndon LaRouche's three-step solution. The history of his forecasts, dating back to knowing scientifically that the oligarchy had to bring down the financial system in FDR's Bretton Woods in order to exert their control. That happened on August 15th, 1971, and it is the root of the doom that we see today. You can subscribe to EIR Electronic Edition today. Now, this moment, if you're listening to this, you're already on the Internet. You're already on the LaRouche Pub website. And if you go to the homepage of that, there is a button, a click button, where it says subscribe to EIR. You can do it instantaneously. Get the EIR for 3 months, 6 months, 1 year, 10 years. Well, you really can't do that, but you can call us to do that, because for the next few months, it is absolutely critical that people have the scientific information that the LaRouche Youth Movement is preparing. The news of this fight and what Sam and Harley and Ed Hamler have been saying, we either succeed in this fight or we lose the fight that Franklin Roosevelt won for us in 1932 at that convention, which was to prevent the United States of America from being a fascist country. Almost every other country in the world, including Britain, our supposed ally, did go fascist in the 1930s. America did not. And that fight was a life and death situation, and 2008 is a life and death situation, and you just heard it live from San Jose, California. So subscribe to the EIR. Call toll-free for more information about the LaRouche Pact. That's 1-800-929-7566. Harley and Sam, I can't thank you enough. Keep up. Raise hell. We are definitely on the path to victory.
Thank you.